Macmillan Audio presents Marked for Life, One Man's Fight for Justice from the Inside. Written and read for you by Isaac Wright Jr. This book is dedicated to those who were intimately responsible for molding me into the man I was, the man I became, and the man that continues to evolve into a better man than yesterday. The only protector, provider, and mentor in my life, Isaac Wright Sr., my father. The only nurturer in my life, Sandra B. Wright, my mother. The only team in my life, Quentin W. Wright, Walter D. Wright, Paporte R. Wright, Sandra J. Wright, Larrable, and Stephen J. Wright, my siblings. The only reason for living, Tequila S. Wright, my daughter. The only teacher in my life, life. And the only guardian in my life, God. Although this is a work of nonfiction, the names of certain individuals have been changed to protect their privacy, and dialogue has been reconstructed based on the best of my recollection and press accounts. Prologue. When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter hammering away at his rock perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all that had gone before. Jacob Riis, The Stonecutter's Credo. Somerset County Courthouse, Somerville, New Jersey, September 4th, 1996. He was squirming up on the stand, avoiding my eyes like they were shotgun barrels. Detective James Dugan possessed a look and bearing of a military man. Dirty blonde crew cut, straight-backed posture, tight-lipped expression. But the eyes told a different story. I didn't know what he thought when he got out of bed that morning, what was on his mind when he dressed in his crisp blue uniform, or when he kissed his wife goodbye. Maybe he thought he was in the clear, that a convicted felon acting as his own lawyer couldn't do much damage. Maybe his lies about me weighed on him, or maybe he buried it all, deep enough that the guilt couldn't come up and bite him. But as the momentum of my cross-examination built, as I found my rhythm, he sensed where this was going. In prison, you learn to read people's eyes quickly and decisively. It's basic survival to know friend or foe, anger or fear, impulse or plan. Dugan's eyes gave away the game. I woke up that morning only a couple of miles from where he did, not in the relaxed comfort of my home, but in a cramped, damp cell. Not next to my wife and across the hall from my child, but alone inside hard stone walls. Everything you were and ever will be is squashed in prison. That's what they don't tell you, what the public doesn't understand, and what the movies don't show. Prison doesn't just take away your present, swallowing up your days, hours, and minutes. It also takes away your past, too, drowns out your memories until they're wisps of ideas, unrecognizable, like something from a dream or a story someone once told you. And it takes away your future, until all you can see in front of you is a blank space, so dark and empty that you can't even imagine what would fill it. I had one clear advantage over the detectives and prosecutor who set me up, the witnesses who lied about me to save themselves, and the judge who perverted justice to seal my fate. I had thought about nothing else for over 2,600 days. My case was my lifeblood. It pumped my heart, circulated the blood in my body, and ran through my veins. Everyone else had lives to live, schedules and plans, and all the things that come with being free. But in prison, those things fall away. You have nothing to do but make it through the day, over and over and over again. It's always right now, and it's always forever. So around the clock, from when I opened my eyes in the morning to when I put my head down at night, I thought about them. Prosecutor Bissell, Chief Detective Thornburg, Judge Imbriani, Detectives Dugan, Race, and Buckman. 7+
Sample complete. Ready to continue?